Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also would like to encourage you to look at our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com, that has all these radio programs and MP3 files. We also have Bible videos, 30 minutes in length, on a number of topics, and on some other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study and your contemplation of God's Word. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the regular meeting times of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You will always be warmly received. We have but one desire, to show your need for God in your life and to have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, who died to give you a remedy for your sin. We want to continue our discussion of the bread of life, and we looked last time at the birth of John the Baptist. Today, we want to begin by the announcement to Joseph of the impending birth of Jesus. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But when he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, and it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, after Mary has visited Elizabeth, Mary returns home, and the fact that she was with child is very evident. The only explanation that the child was conceived through the Holy Spirit was for that was what the angel Gabriel told her. What was the situation in which Mary found herself? Well, according to Deuteronomy 22:23-24, indicates that Mary would have been viewed as being guilty of adultery and could have been put to death. However, Joseph was a righteous man, and with the passage indicated that he was a man of tender heart with true feelings for Mary. He determined to put her away secretly. In Deuteronomy 24:1 would be applicable here. While he was contemplating his course of action, Joseph was visited by the angel and of the Lord in a dream. He received the assurance, and that corroborated what Mary had apparently told him that was told to her by Gabriel. The child she was carrying was of the Holy Spirit. He would be called Jesus, which is Savior, derived from the verb signifying to save. Much attention had been paid to the Hebrew word translated virgin in Isaiah 7:14. Mary contends that virgin is an incorrect translation, in that it would be rendered young woman. Such, the word itself is alama. The word occurs in the following instances, and in each one obviously designates an unmarried woman and a true virgin. Psalms chapter 68, verse 15, you can see this word. Exodus 2:8, Proverbs 30:19, Genesis 24, verse 43, Songs of Solomon chapter 1, verse 3, chapter 6, verse 8, and our passage, Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Being thus assured, Joseph took Mary to wife and did not consummate the marriage until after the birth of the Lord. Now, that's a very important point. The end of Matthew 1, it says that he did not know his wife until after the birth of Christ. Now, one of the false teachings of the religious world is that Mary was a perpetual virgin. That's false. Mary would have other children, and Joseph would father those children. But he did not know Mary until after the birth of Jesus. Now, in Matthew chapter 2, we have the birth of Jesus, our Savior. It is also recorded in Luke chapter 1 in verse 1 through 7. It came to pass in the days surrounding the birth of Jesus that a decree came forth from the emperor of Rome, Octavius Caesar Augustus, that a census should be taken of all the world who was under Roman rule. The purpose of such an enrollment would be to assist in the work of taxation and also to determine how many were subject to military service. Octavian ruled Rome from 31 BC to AD 15. At this time, Quirinius was the governor of Syria. Roman custom was for each person to be enrolled in the place of their residence. However, the Jews went to be enrolled in their ancestral homes. Joseph and Mary were both of the lineage of David, made their way to Bethlehem, the city of David, to be enrolled. While in the city of Bethlehem, in the most humble circumstances imaginable, Jesus was born. The Lord was born in a stable, for there was no room in the inn for them, undoubtedly due to the large number of people in the city for the census. His first bed was a manger. Was there significance in Bethlehem as his birthplace? Yes, it was. It was prophesied that that indeed would be true in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. The shepherds and the angels. The hill country surrounded Bethlehem. The shepherds were watching over their sheep by night. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and there was a great brightness as the glory of the Lord shone around them. Why shepherd? I believe it was to demonstrate that the work of the Lord was for all men, from the least to the greatest. There was no class distinction in the love of God and the availability of salvation. It was announced to them, today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. They were given a sign by which they could recognize him. They would find the baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. A multitude of heavenly hosts appeared praising God. With haste, the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem to see the thing the angels had said. They found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger just as they had been told. With that, they were lonely men, became the first preachers of Jesus. They made known what had been told to them. How could Mary do anything but ponder all these things in her heart? She did not completely understand all the things that were happening, but she pondered them and she kept them in her heart. I want us for a moment to go back, and I want us to look at three prophecies. The first one is in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 1 through 8. And this is the law of the Nazarite. And the scripture says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when either a man or woman consecrates an offspring to take the vow of a Nazarite, to separate himself from the Lord, he shall separate himself from wine and similar drink. He shall neither drink vinegar made from wine, nor fresh grapes of raisins. All the days of separation he shall eat nothing that is produced by the grapevine, from seed to skin. All the days of this vow of separation, no razor shall come upon his head until the days which are fulfilled, which he separate himself to the Lord, he shall be holy. Then he shall be let the locks of his hair grow. All the days that he makes himself unclean, either from his father or another, for his brothers or for his sister, when they die, because his separation is to God upon his head. Now, this is the law of the Nazarite. This is what John the Baptist would be. He would fulfill those instructions. In Malachi 3, behold, I send my messenger. I will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek, and will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. And then in Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 5, we're told that, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike you with a curse. Now, all these prophecies have to do with John the Baptist. He comes just as the prophecies proclaim. All these things happen. We read them in the relationship between Mary and Elizabeth and their discussions with Gabriel. After hearing Gabriel's message, Zechariah was speechless until all these things came about. And we need to understand that why did Mary and Joseph leave Nazareth before Jesus was born? Because of the census that was announced by the emperor of Rome, they went back to their ancestral place of residence, and he was born in a manger, but it was also to fulfill prophecy that he would be born of a virgin in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. What sign was given the shepherds that they might recognize the newborn Savior? Well, he would be in a manger, and he would be in the manger, and he would be out of the inn in the barn, we might say, because there was no room for him in the inn. And then, how did the decisions made by those in power in the Roman government impact the lives of Mary and Joseph and fulfill the prophecy concerning the virgin birth? God didn't make a miraculous happen. He knew that there would be a census. He knew that this proclamation would happen because God knows the beginning from the ending. But all of them were signs for those who were looking at them and those that knew the law that this Christ would be the Son of God. And so what we have in the last two studies, we see the birth of John the Baptist is announced, the forerunner for Christ. We see the birth of the Savior, Jesus Christ, as it's revealed to Mary and then revealed to Joseph, in order that both of them would know that this one that was coming would be a Son of God, that his birth would be because the Holy Spirit overshadows Mary. Mary is given the privilege of bringing the Christ into the world, but she is not elevated like so many in the Roman Catholic Church has elevated Mary to a position that God never gave her and one that Mary would have never accepted. She was going to be the wife of Joseph. She was a virgin when she was found with child, and she gave birth to the Son of God, and she did in the city of Bethlehem to fulfill prophecy in Isaiah 7, verse 14, and Micah 5, and verse number 2. These are all signs that men could look to and point to know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. But now remember, as we're going through this story, we have the birth of John the Baptist that has some miraculous points in it. And then we have the birth of Jesus Christ. But both of them are very different, and both of them are very different because both of them are for very different reasons. John's birth is to announce and to prepare the way for Christ. Jesus' birth is to bring into the world the Savior that was promised way back in the beginning after man fell into sin. And so what we're seeing is God's plan unfolding in order to bring about the redemption of man. And all of this is centered around this one person that we have come to know is his name is going to be Jesus. And as we read in Matthew chapter 1, his name is to be Emmanuel. What's Emmanuel? That means God with us. God is going to be present with men. Now that agrees with what we read earlier when we talked about the beginning, when we talked about that God dwelt among men in John 1:14. We see it now that it actually coming to fruition with the birth of Christ. And we're beginning to see as God's plan is coming to fruition and the Son is on the scene, and then we'll begin to go through what he will do and how he will set the table for the things that his Father has sent him to do. Please tune in again.